you think you slick, because you came on here before the show and you were smiling, and I said I had a beef with you. I said I ain't have nothing to smile about.
What I do? What I do?
But see, I learned everything from you. You know what you did right before we started this podcast? Right before we jumped on here and about to bless the world and let our cousins hear what we got to say, what has transpired over the last week. You took off those fresh frames you had.
Yeah.
And see, that's the problem that I have. You know what I'm saying? The problem that I have is that I've been waiting on mine. And now I'm about to have to, let me tell you how I'm going to have to treat you. I'm going to have to treat you like my wife treat me when she asks me to go ship something. When I go ship something, she says, hey, take a picture of the tracking number and send me the receipt so I can make sure you did it. That's how I'm going to have to do you until I get my frames.
Brody, you know damn well it take us a minimum of 2.5 to 3 weeks to send something off, man.
Bro, and then
stop acting brand new. You knew it was gonna be a long time before I shipped them damn glasses.
And then those are different. Even the same one. Those are different.
I'm sorry, bro. You're supposed to have them by now. I haven't shipped them yet. I'm sorry.
It's all good. Listen, look.
Dang it, man. It's been a rough week.
You know what? And I was just about to say that. We're going to dive into that a little later, okay?
Jesus.
And you know, I always got your back. I saw you respond on the Twitter. I said my apology, but I had to dive into it a little bit. We're going to get into that. You know, it's always good to see y'all.
You too, brother. You too, my brother.
Hey, y'all shining. I didn't get a chance to see it last night because I fell asleep. But everybody keep telling me about the mega cast and how y'all new money on there last night. I said it's not shocking.
You know, how this thing goes, man. I watch you on NBA Today every week, and I always say to myself, they starting to get in the groove. They starting to understand. It's hard when you got people coming in and out. We've been at this for 2 years on NFL Live now.
Right.
It's y'all kicking off, but the personalities are starting to come through. Mm. Like everybody know y'all know basketball. Everybody knows that. But the personality part is starting to come through. And Malika is settling in to being like the leader. Yep. And kind of controlling that everything like we got with Laura Rutledge, who I call L Boogie. Anyway, we got a lot to get at. You go ahead and get us where we need to go.
Can I give you know, the game is to be sold, not told. But because we're not guys that lack we're secure about ourselves.
Yeah.
Let me give people out there a little advice. See, it's ESPN. You do have to realize is that the E stands for entertainment, okay?
100%.
Let me go ahead and put that out there. So it's not just coming up and saying, well, he shot 34% from the field. This,
so what?
You got to have some type of swagger about yourself.
You can read that in a book.
Hey, listen, it was MLK yesterday.
Let's acknowledge that.
It was MLK yesterday. Yes. We know what Martin Luther King Jr. meant to everybody, to the whole entire world. We knew if you didn't celebrate it, then damn it, you out of there.
You out of there. Let me make one statement on MLK.
Go ahead.
You know we keep it 100 on this podcast.
We don't have no choice.
Let me make one statement. This is what I need people to do, okay? Mm-hmm. Uh-oh. I need people to stop using MLK quotes for convenience. That's number one. I need y'all to stop doing that. Uh-oh. I need y'all to understand that this man was militant in the way he went about things and not militant in a way of violence and all of that. We know Dr. King was about nonviolence. But stop with all of the he was trying to get it. No. He was the leader of the civil rights movement because black people were not equally and gainfully experienced the American dream that we were supposed to experience. Mm. That was his fight. All right, let me get that out the way first, Perk, before we get into it. I hate to preach early, but I see these convenient tweets and quotes and all of that from some of the same people that would have hated him and hated his message. So stop the convenience. Be honest with yourself. All right, let's get that out of the way.
Break it off. I love it. Look, let's get that. We had a lot of basketball MLK Day, right? And I gotta point out, and I gotta ask you about one team in particular. It's a few teams we gonna get to, but this team right here, okay? We gotta talk about South Beach. Bam out of the Bayou is back. The Heat are the number one team in the Eastern Conference. I need to know from you, Swaggoo. I know. Look, you're in your zone. It's the playoffs in football, but you still.
You know I'm watching hoops. Yeah, you know that.
I already know that. I need your thoughts on the Miami Heat. I need you to break it down to me and tell me where they stand with you and how you feel about them. Are they contenders or pretenders? Like, let me know. Tell me right now. I'm all ears.
First of all, I got to ask you, because I'm so excited about this D. Mitch news, but I got to ask you about that.
Yeah, I don't know what to do.
I got so excited when I saw the rumors. Mm-hmm. Just the rumor. Let me get into this, man. I love the move for Kyle Lowry. All right, before the season started, right? I love that move because not only do you bring championship pedigree, you bring a level of consistency to that spot to help Jimmy Butler if you need buckets in the playoffs. The thing I remember about the Miami Heat in the playoffs was Jimmy Butler hanging over the scorer's table, tired as hell. That's what I remember. And I get it. Like, he was the instant offense and the defensive stop on the other end. We know Bam exploded. Bam is a legit front court dominator. Defensively, he's an anchor. You can get him to rock. And, Perk, you know what's so amazing about him?
He
can facilitate, Perk. He understands how to get rid of the basketball in adverse situations.
Yep, versatile big.
He's a versatile big. Mm-hmm. And last but not least, man, when you look at Pat Riley, okay, let's not forget that this thing has been orchestrated by one of the greatest to ever put teams together in the NBA and also one of the greatest coaches to ever done the sideline. You and I talked about Spoelstra a few weeks ago, and I was like, I didn't know he was a good coach until you told me the story about him and LeBron having their meeting. To answer your question, that's a long way to answer. Hell yeah, they contenders. You call what you used to call them. You used to call them goons, right? That's what you used to call
them. They still them goons. Them goons from Dade County.
From Dade County. And listen, I think, okay, this is what I believe, Perk.
Go ahead.
Like football, all right, you make moves because you saw something last time that you need to fix. And to me, that's Kyle Lowry. They arguably got, not arguably, they got a walking bucket coming off the bench as well. Can you put a name on it, Perk? Because I don't want to say.
I will. Hero. Hero. Okay. Tyler Hero.
Thank you. Hey, yeah.
You know what? Let me say this. Let me say this while you're saying this. Tyler Hero said, hey, man, y'all mentioning Luka Doncic and Trae Young. I'm gonna make y'all mention me this year in that same conversation. And he's actually backing it up. Go ahead and say what you were saying.
But so I love the makeup of the team. I love the fact that you could pull offense off the floor and you got a guy to come on and give you instant offense in Tyler Hero. But the most important thing I think they did, and I can't wait to see it come to fruition. When the Phoenix Suns got Chris Paul, they went to another level because of experience and the ability to be a floor general.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to see Kyle Lowry and what he does for this team when they get in the playoffs. That's what I got for the Heat. What? They are absolutely for real.
Okay. Yeah. No. You're preaching. you did not say anything wrong. And it starts, the reason I call them goons from Dade County is before I touch on everything else, their identity is defense.
Yes.
We're gonna get into you. We're going to make it ugly. If you want to scrap, we'll do that too. We got OG Udonis Haslem sitting right on the bench. We already know what Pat Riley and them the Italians and Colombians are doing down there. You know what I mean? You got a problem with the heat.
Whatever you want.
Don't get the bricks tied on your feet and you get dropped in that ocean. Okay?
Swimming with the fishes.
Yeah, swimming with the fishes. So here's the thing. When I look at the Heat, you're absolutely right about Kyle Lowry. Hell, I thought the Lakers should have got him last year. And I don't know if you saw it. I was telling them.
I know. Hey, look,
trade, make that happen. Because here's the thing. He could play on the ball. He could play off the ball. But the thing that you can't replace is that he's a dog, a pit bull. He's going to get you those extra possessions. He's always going to be in the league in the top of the tops in the league as far as taking charges. You know what I mean? He's going to be getting deflections and steals. All those things that don't show up in the stat sheet, Kyle Lowry is doing. Okay, now.
And Perk will knock down a shot.
Oh, well, no, he's battle tested. I just want to make sure everybody knows that it
ain't no sagging off. Go ahead, my bad.
It ain't no sagging off. So they have shooting. They have shooting. Okay? We know that. But they added somebody for the low. They stole from the Milwaukee Bucks. P.J. Tucker. That right there in the culture. So when you look at the Miami Heat, the fact that they're number one in the East right now and they haven't been healthy the entire season. Jimmy Butler has been out. Bam, first game was yesterday.
Yesterday, yep.
After 4 to 6 weeks, and they're number one in the East. This is the same Eastern Conference with the Chicago Bulls that have been balling, the Milwaukee Bucks, the Brooklyn Nets, the Philadelphia 76ers. They're number one. Now they got their whole roster back. Mm-hmm. So I'm telling the world this right now. I'm not going to disrespect the defending champions. I always live by this. Until somebody knocked them off, they're always going to be my favorite. Okay? And I'm just saying that because.
No, I respect that.
Yeah, you got to knock off the champions. But I will say this. For us coming out of the East, the Miami Heat is my dark horse to win it all. We have to remember, this team 2 years ago was in the NBA Finals, and they got better. And you know what else? We don't even know when Victor Oladipo is coming back. He's on a bad team. That's more power.
Talent ain't the issue.
No.
Talent ain't the issue, to your point. Continuity. Getting everybody back healthy. And you know this team going to defend. Listen, I got to make a confession.
Go ahead.
Sitting and listening to you and talking to you.
Repent.
Like off script. I did not really understand. You know I know how important defensive basketball is.
Yeah.
Right? Like I understand on that end of the floor. But when you think a lot of casual fans, and in this regard I probably was too. Because I look at Brooklyn and I say, you got to get the 130, right? Like, you got to get the 130 in the playoffs to beat them. I just feel like that.
Yep.
When you start talking about how they can operate on the other side of the floor offensively. But when I look at the Heat, bro, they can get the 130. And they defend. And they going to make life hell.
Yes.
For KD and James Harden. And because Jimmy Butler going to lock in on somebody. And you know how that's going to go for the duration of the game. P.J. Tucker going to lock in on – bro, so to your point, they are built for playoff basketball now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they are built for that. They are built to say, hey, we got stoppers. Yeah. And if – I just saw P.J. Tucker guard KD. Now, nobody can guard KD.
But he made
life live in hell. He made him work for every point.
Every single bucket.
Okay. Look, all right, Perk.
And listen, I'm going to say this, and we're going to leave. Let's not leave this out. I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to say it with my damn chest out. Eric Spoelstra is the best damn coach in basketball, period.
Mm.
And there's no disrespect to Ty Lue, Doc Rivers, Greg Popovich. Today, adjustments on the fly. And coming up with different schemes and putting people in position, holding players accountable, he's that guy. Okay?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Been a lot going on in the basketball world, okay, but it was another particular team that played, okay, and for our cousins out there, we got to dive on the Lakers, okay, because Magic Johnson called them out after Denver smoked them the other night, right? Eddie Jeannie Buss said she deserved better. LeBron James came out with a tweet, he apologized, and so yesterday they go against the Utah Jazz. One of the tops in the league, one of the best offense in the league, and they held them to 85 points, yep. And they won the game. But that's not even a question that we're diving into. Okay, that's one game. We know the Lakers has looked horrible. They have not lived up to expectations. But it's a rumor circulating out there, and I need to hear what you got to say, and then I'm gonna go right after you. They're talking about Frank Vogel being on the hot seat. I need to know how you feel about it. Frank Vogel is on the hot seat.
Well, Perk, we know what Frank Vogel calling card is in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Y'all done said it 1,000 times. He's supposed to be a defensive guy, defensive specialist, all right? But here's the issue I have with that, Perk. And I get it. Like, Frank Vogel going to be the scapegoat anyway. Mm-hmm. Hell, they ain't letting LeBron go. They ain't going to, you know, they might try to make a trade here or there, but I don't see them doing that either. Here's the thing that I have a problem with the Frank Vogel thing.
Come on, talk to us.
The Lakers got lazy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The Lakers got lazy because LeBron James was on the roster. And I know it's a running joke. LeBron James do this. Who LeBron going to get his players? Who is this? What's going to happen with this? The bottom line is this, bro. And I always revert back to what you said about that meeting he had with Eric Spoelstra. I also revert back to that meeting you said he had with Ty Lue.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, you got to challenge your superstar
to
lead the way defensively.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I've seen LeBron be an elite defender. There is no reason for Russell Westbrook not to be an elite defender. Okay? There is no reason for when AD gets back that he anchors the floor along with Dwight Howard. There's no reason for any of this to be happening.
Don't stop. Keep going.
So the issue I have
with the
I understand it. I understand Frank Vogel is the low man on the totem pole, and the fact that it's not going right, that's who you get rid of.
Mm-hmm.
But to your point, Perk, the players decided to play defense last night. They made a decision. So I don't know how the hell you coach a decision.
Come on.
I don't know how you do that. Because you know, we told everybody at the first podcast, we are big LeBron fans. But I'm going to put it on his shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, man. You expected to lead offensively. You expected to lead off the floor. And you know defense right now going to be your calling card to getting into these playoffs and having the shot to win a championship. Because you got to defend the Phoenix Suns.
Mm-hmm.
You got to defend the Golden State Warriors. Like, because the shooting, you don't have it anymore with Russ to go toe-to-toe with points. You don't have it. Perk, we sat here years ago and watched the Golden State Warriors tell LeBron, hey, man, yeah, go get your 50. We just going to stop everybody else.
Everybody else.
We saw him do it. This is what I'm afraid of.
Talk to me.
I'm afraid that we are sitting here talking about defense and Frank Vogel being on the hot seat when I think it's a decision from the players on the Lakers team to play better defense. Okay? That's one thing. And Perk, let me be honest, bro. I got on Russ for the statement he made. I don't know if you saw the tweet, but I got on Russ for the statement he made about basketball. He said something about it's bigger than basketball.
That same old bullshit. I've seen it too.
Yeah. Perk, I just, because What are you there for when you at the facility and you playing games? What are you there for? We all play basketball to take care of our families. $40 million. Yes, but we all play the game to take care of our families. That's understood. Like, we're talking about basketball, Russ. We're talking about what you actually doing on the basketball court.
Yeah,
I did like how savage he was when he dunked on Gobert. I ain't gonna lie, that was vintage Russ. But Perk, let's be honest, bro. If you gonna have Brody on the floor and he can't shoot the basketball, this ain't the team he need to be on, bro.
Period.
You can't, because if you can't knock down shots based on who you gonna have to beat to get to the Western Conference Finals and try to make a final, and you want him on the floor, it's going to cause a lot of issues with you scoring points, man. I'm going to let you have it because, like I say all the time, you know it's the running joke. I don't know a damn thing about basketball. I'm going to give it to my basketball guy.
You just spoke a lot of gospel. Here's the thing, bro, and I really feel this way. This same Frank Vogel that so-called saying that's on the hot seat is the same Frank Vogel you won a damn championship with two years ago. And here's my thing that I'm going to have a problem with. If the Lakers continue to struggle, and if Bron and Anthony Davis, those two in particular, don't go to war for Frank Vogel, I got a problem with that, dog. I got a problem with that because they know, Bron and AD both know, when you bring in Carmelo Anthony, and I know he's been hurt for a few games, but he's part of this too. Yeah, he give you the threes and he hit the side of his head, but he can't guard a parked car. They pick on him every single time in the pick and roll. Everybody's watching Russell Westbrook gamble on defense instead of fighting and getting up over the screens. So I'm watching the game last night. I'm watching, it's the fourth quarter, the Lakers are making a run. And the Lakers had LeBron James, Taylor Horton Tucker, and three other guys that probably, if they were healthy, wouldn't even be in the rotation that was on the floor. And there was Avery Bradley, who came in with a non-guaranteed contract, Malik Monk, who's on the vet minimum, and Stanley Johnson, who is still on a 10-day. And what I watched them do to the Jazz yesterday, they played extremely hard. They got into them. Yes, the Jazz had more talent, but they went and got that win. So,
Hold on. Let me stop and give you your flowers. Let me stop and give you your flowers right now.
Uh-huh.
This is what you said. You said it. You said they want to do movies. They want to do commercials. They want to enjoy the L.A. lifestyle and forgot to make the main thing when it comes to basketball. Perk, you know why they play better defense with all of them dudes you just named on the floor? Because they wanted to.
They want to.
That's to your point. That's why I'm holding LeBron James accountable.
Me too.
Go ahead.
When you build a team around LeBron James, you have to put killers around him.
100%.
Killers, real ones. And so when you put those scrappy dudes around them, the game completely changed. And then all of a sudden, now you see Russell Westbrook walking to the scores table with about 3 minutes and 35 seconds left into the game. Okay, but these guys that went out there and scrapped and got it done by ball movement.
By getting it to them.
I'm watching Stanley Johnson attack the chest of a three-time defensive player of the year, Rudy Gobert, and going at him. So here's the thing. It's not Frank Vogel, dog. Like, let's get that out the way. And I'm telling you right now.
Scapegoat.
And you know how I feel about Bron. You know my friendship with Bron.
Yeah.
You know my friendship with Anthony Davis. But if Frank Vogel get fired or if they don't go to war for Frank Vogel, I got to call them.
We going to call
FaceTime. Him.
And we're going to talk about him.
Nah, bro, because that ain't fair, dog. That ain't fair that Frank Vogel got to get the blame because of the lack of the others that was brought in, Russell, Carmelo, and all that, and they came in with that cool Hollywood.
And you know what the irony is of it, bro?
Give it to
is
me.
That he ain't choose them. That's the Lakers brass that wanted the big name called Melo, and they wanted Russ, and we talked. That's the big name. They wanted that. Frank Vogel is trying. I don't. Here's my issue and why I'm so pissed because of what you said. Frank Vogel still coach defense. He still can coach defense. But you got to want to play defense in basketball. Any good defender that's ever played basketball did not go out there and say, good defense just going to happen for me because I'm out here.
Come on.
All right, bro. I done got emotional, and I got to save all my energy for where we going.
No, we got it out the way because we just needed to address that. And I'm all in for, you know us, we don't sugarcoat nothing. But Frank Vogel don't deserve to lose his job. I don't give a damn what nobody say. And I'm going to leave that at that. We done touched on the hoops, okay? It's time to go a little bit to the dark side. And I'm not talking about the Memphis Grizzlies, okay? I'm talking about both of us, okay? Look, I'm going to say this. My Cardinals lost. They got a spanking yesterday. But I had no aspirations for them winning the Super Bowl this year. I really didn't. I thought Kyler Murray, he played the worst game of his career. I thought, I ain't making no excuses, but I thought he was deflated because he knew he didn't have his other partner in crime.
He didn't have his guy and his coach left him out to dry.
He did. He didn't have T-Hop. Okay. But now. I got to get to you, Mr. Frames, Mr. Shining Frames on your face. I got to hear
my grandmother up there praying for me.
I have to hear it. I'm going to sit back and I'm going to listen, but I have to hear it because here it is. It's no reason in hell. I'm going to say this. It's one thing to get beat by Tampa Bay or Green Bay. Okay, but to get beat by the San Francisco, and I'm not knocking the San Francisco 49ers. I thought Shannon had put together a hell of a game plan. I thought here's my biggest point. I'm going to give you the flow. I thought X's and O's game plans and all that. Yes, Shannon had did his thing, but I thought the number one thing that the 49ers did more so than anything, they bullied the out of the Cowboys from at the line of scrimmage in the trenches, whatever you want, Debo Samuels, all that, they bullied them. Now, go ahead and take the floor. I need to know how you feel about the organization. I need to know how you feel about Dak. I need to know how you feel about McCarty. Come on, give it to
all right, me. They're going to have to bring a damn ice bag in here for this mic because this mug about to get set on fire. You hear me? All right. I'm making three reference points, all right? First, I'm going to talk about the game between the Cowboys and the San Francisco 49ers. Then I'm going to go to the coaching staff, and then I'm going to go to the systemic problem for the Dallas Cowboys. All right, won the game. The game actually didn't go any other way than I expected it to go, outside of the fact that that offense did not show up at all for the Dallas Cowboys. Bro, let me tell you something. That Dallas defense gave up yards. They gave up a few plays. But see, Perk, this is what we do. We look at film. Mm. The Dallas Cowboys extended three possessions because of penalties being offsides for the San Francisco 49ers, pre-snap penalties. Not jumping offsides, lining up offsides. They gave up 23 points to a team that, quote, unquote, murdered them. Now, when you go back and look at the film of this game, San Francisco had a tremendous amount of success running the football. Mm-hmm. But guess what, Perk? They did that to everybody.
Mm.
The San Francisco 49ers went down 17-0 to the Los Angeles Rams last week and came back on the Los Angeles Rams and beat them because of the run game.
Mm.
If anybody would have told me before this game was played that the 49ers would only score 23 points and beat the Dallas Cowboys, I'd have called them a bald-faced lie.
Mm.
Because I expected the Dallas Cowboys offense to be a part of their defense. That defense got left to dry time and time and time again. Holding penalties, false starts, drop passes, turnovers, and they surrendered 23 points to a team. Because if you remember, the energy all week was the 49ers about to come and they about to just run through the Dallas Cowboys defense. Pert, that was not the case.
That was not. I agree.
The issue in that game was Kellen Moore, the offensive coordinator, was horrible, like he's been now for a number of weeks.
Not the same Kellen Moore that's the boy genius.
Yeah, that's getting all these head coaching. Yeah. That Kellen Moore. The Kellen Moore with zero playoff wins, but he a hot name, and Eric Bieniemy won a Super Bowl and has six playoff wins. But let me not get to that because I ain't to coaching yet. I'm still on the game. Just give me a second, bro. I gotta get this off my chest.
Go ahead.
All right. So I look at Dak Prescott. Mm-hmm. And I'm frustrated throughout the game. Dak missing throws. He won't take off and be an athlete. Now, I still am mindful that he a year off of his ankle almost being detached from his body. Mm-hmm. I still understand that. But, Perk, we in the playoffs, bro. And you've told us you fine.
Yeah.
That's what Dak said, okay?
Paid the big bucks.
You getting paid the big. There was opportunities for Dak Prescott to be an athlete, and he chose not to be until late in the game, and it ended up being a touchdown run. All right? That's my issue with Dak.
Okay.
But, bro, Kellen Moore, see, I'm getting tired of the boy genius tags. I'm getting tired of he the next one. I'm getting tired of he the next great offensive coordinator that's going to be a head coach and he going to take this team to new heights. No, he ain't. No, he ain't. What the hell have y'all been watching to think Kellen Moore is a boy genius offensive coordinator? What the hell have y'all been watching? When CeeDee Lamb get one catch in a playoff game for all the marbles, you deem the offensive coordinator a boy genius? When Tony Pollard touches the ball six total times in a football game and he's one of your most dynamic weapons on your team, that's the boy genius that everybody wants to be a head coach. When Amari Cooper can't get involved in a football game and the one time he makes a catch is for a touchdown, but that's the offensive coordinator that everybody wants to come. When you've watched Mike McCarthy and Kellen Moore, the guard Connor Williams all season long get beat to sleep by defensive tackles and you make no change. You don't find any help. You allow that to transpire. There's one area in this game that the San Francisco 49ers whooped the Dallas Cowboys. Their defensive line embarrassed the Cowboys' offensive line. That is where they got bullied and whooped. With Nick Bosa leaving the game early. Man. All right, that's the game. I got that off my chest.
Man.
Let me go to coaching because I alluded to it because it had to be kind of filtered into that conversation with the players. Perk, for the life of me, I can't understand, bro, how – I asked Dan Orlovsky this question the other day.
Mm-hmm.
I said, Dan, how difficult is it throughout the duration of a game or through the first couple possessions of a game to realize what the hell you're doing ain't working? And how do you counter that in the moment? And Dan truthfully said, hey, man, it's difficult. He said, but the good ones, they figure it out in a couple series. The great ones, they identify right away. So how are we supposed to define Kellen Moore? Because, Perk, I want to remind everybody, this ain't the first time this offense done looked like trash. They've been looking like trash for a long time. Everybody got excited when they put
– for the past 3 weeks, except for when they hung whatever
50,
on the
– 50 on Philly, the backups for Philly, and they had a great game against the Washington football team who was also injured and beat up. Yeah. But what I thought, Perk, this is where I was a fool. What I thought – is that you would take them experiences from the bad offensive output and you would see what you did well and you would implement some of those things.
Mm.
Kellen Moore ran the ball 16 times.
Hold on.
Perk, how many times you just
– Hold on, before you keep going. All I just got to say this. somebody, I don't know, I'm not going to mention his name, but he came up with a famous quote that said, you have to run the damn football. Okay, go ahead. I forgot who it was that came up with it, but you have to run the damn football. Go ahead,
Doku. That's why the San Francisco 49ers are in the playoffs, because they run the damn football. Mm-hmm. And for everybody, you know I'm a Dallas fan. But yeah. You know I tell the truth about the Cowboys.
Yeah, you do.
And I also tell the truth about the NFL. I had the San Francisco 49ers going to the playoffs in week 8.
You did.
When they were not balling out of their mind.
You did. I heard that.
I did. Segment on Lock It In, call on Sports Center, called Lock Them In.
I remember that.
Week 8. So I knew the San Francisco 49ers were going to be a solid to good football team. But the San Francisco 49ers ain't world beaters. The Dallas Cowboys beat themselves. And that's on coaching, and that's on players, and execution comes down to players on the field, and non-adjustment comes down to coaches. So two parts of what you need to win a football game were horrid for the Dallas Cowboys. Now let me go systemic, because I know we got to get out of here. Jerry Jones will never move out of the way. Jerry Jones will always hire a coach where he can have his thumb.
But Jerry's 103 years old, like, move.
Perk. We've been saying that forever. And here is the issue, because Stephen A. got the whole thing running with the Cowboy fans. Here's my issue with the Cowboy fans. And stop asking for it to change. It's not going to change. Mm-hmm. Stop thinking that this man, Jerry Jones, who's owned this team for so long, is going to change because you feel like he should.
Yeah.
Perk, when I was in Dallas, we felt like Jerry was too involved. When I was playing, when it actually mattered to me, as far as my career and the results of football games, he was in the way. Here's the other part. When they hired Mike McCarthy, I hope I'm going to try to bring it up on First Take tomorrow when I have it. When they hired Mike McCarthy, Perk, I was on First Take that day, and I said, this is just another example of a coach he can control. That's what it is. Whatever coach, Perk, here's why you never hear about the Dallas Cowboys being real players in the coaching cycle.
Come on.
Because Jerry likes people. He sees people that he likes, and he wants them to be the coach. And he also sees people that he can have influence over or be influencer to. And that's the guys that he hire, right? Like, Jerry don't want to hire a Sean McVay, because Sean McVay going to say, I'm running the offense I run.
I'm doing it my way.
He don't want to hire Kyle Shanahan. Jerry Jones got rid of Jimmy Johnson after winning 2 Super Bowls. What the hell make you think he going to hire somebody that he don't think he can put under his finger?
But answer this, but why?
Perk, because I've been telling people this for years. There is two parts to Jerry Jones, and they are both true. Jerry Jones wants to win, and he wants the Cowboys to win a Super Bowl as bad as anyone in the world.
Right.
That's the truth.
Okay.
The other thing that's true is Jerry Jones really thinks he knows football. So he wants to be involved. I don't know if this is the case. I don't know a lot of owners that sit in personnel meetings. I don't know a lot of owners that sit in offensive meetings. I played for one other franchise, the Baltimore Ravens, with Steve Bisciotti.
Yeah.
I saw him twice the whole year I was there. I saw him twice. But Perk, I get tired of talking about this because Dallas Cowboy fans get mad at me when I say, stop complaining about what Jerry is doing. He ain't changing.
You know what? Let me sum this up for you.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah,
for our cousins and for what you're saying, because you keep saying he's not changing. And you know our old saying back in the South and how we feel about old people, what we say. Hey, stop worrying about them old people because they what? They stuck in their ways.
Stubborn and stuck in their ways, man.
Stuck in their ways. It ain't no changing them. It ain't no changing them. Mama Spears, my grandmother, We could
they do it how they do it.
We could go in the we could sit here and have a conversation with them in the room and say, "Mama or granny, this ain't right." And we could talk to them, and we could scratch, we could pull the hair out of our beards, and then we
and
go,
know we right,
and know we right, and then we have to go in the room, and then our wives remind us and say, "You're not changing them; they're stuck in their ways."
100%.
And I have to. That's what it is, Swagger.
100%. So those three parts, because it ain't just about losing to the 49ers. Like, the Cowboys ain't won playoff game. When I was there, we won a playoff game against the Philadelphia Eagles. We went to the playoffs my rookie or the second year, and that was the fumble that Romo had against the Seattle Seahawks, where we potentially was about to win that game. And then we went to Minnesota and lost to Brett Favre when he was in Minnesota. So it's hard to win in this league. I understand that. But I don't – see, this is – I'll tell you my number one frustration.
Talk to me.
People actually think I carry this home with me.
No.
Like Mike Tomlin said in one of his interviews, we do not care.
We don't care.
Direct deposit hits Thursday morning.
Oh, and at the end of the day, just but that's how people think I feel about the Celtics. Like, bro. I want them to succeed. I'm a pump them up when I feel
yes.
like.
Yes.
I'm still sleeping. We sleeping with the AC on 60 because we big fellas.
We big.
And,
yes.
And I don't know about what kind of fan you got. I got the box fan from Walgreens.
I got to hear the noise. Yeah, I got to hear the noise.
Blowing right in my face. But look.
That box fan.
Hey, but look, Swagoo, I'm telling you this right now. In order for the Cowboys to change, and we go in on this, Jerry got to get out the way. He's not getting out the way. So to all the Cowboys fans, again, our line that was bought by Swagoo, Swagoo and Perk, when a person show you who they are, believe them. So y'all could just – so stop just wishing overnight he's going to change. He's not.
No. And Perk, that's why for me, bro, like – before the season started, I ain't had a Cowboys win a Super Bowl anyway. I ain't had them going to Super Bowl.
Right.
I root for the Cowboys for the players on the field.
Mm-hmm.
And I root for that franchise because that franchise changed my life. That franchise is responsible for changing my life to the point where I don't even have to work anymore.
I know what you're saying.
And my kids going to be straight. Yep, so I'm loyal to the Cowboys.
And
I'm loyal to the Baltimore Ravens. Because I got checks with their name on it, too. Okay? But here's the thing for me. When it comes to all of this Cowboy stuff, bro, and I got in a battle with somebody on Twitter. This fan was like, "I can't stand the way you talked about the fans." I said, "Listen, man, y'all crying in the stands. Y'all hugged up like somebody." Bro, I had people sending me DMs talking about sorry for your loss.
Bro, no.
I'm like, bro, I'm on the computer shopping for some shoes right now.
Like, it's okay. It's,
like you said in the last podcast, it's okay.
So
you have no control over what the Cowboys do. You can go cheer for them. I'm going to celebrate every win that they have.
When they
I'm
going
to be mad about the losses. But
and then you're going to go to sleep.
And then I'm going to go to bed. I'm going to eat and go to bed.
Check this out. We didn't really did our thing, and I want to add something. We did a show today, baby. We did a show, Big Swagoo. Listen.
Talk that talk.
Real quick, I need to know, and it's rapid fire. This week coming up, we got some battles, okay?
Yeah.
We got some battles. I need you. Who you got, Buffalo or Kansas City?
I'm taking Kansas City. I'm going to still bet on Mahomes and Josh Allen playing out of his mind.
Okay. I'm going against the grain. I'm actually going with Buffalo. Okay?
That ain't bad. That ain't bad at all.
I'm going with Buffalo. I feel like Buffalo is kind of riding the wave of, you know, of Josh Allen, and he got something to prove. Okay, I know you're a Joe Burrow fan. We got the Bengals and the Titans. I need to know who you rolling with.
I got Tennessee in this one. I think that ground game is going to keep Joe Burrow on the sideline longer than he.
And I think Bengals ain't seen the defense like this in a minute. That defensive
front is a problem.
Yeah, it's a problem.
100%.
49ers and the Packers, I think we both agree with this. You're not winning.
I got Green Bay.
I'm going with Green Bay. And then we got the Rams and the Bucks.
It's the one perk.
I'm going with the Rams.
Me too.
Okay. That's how we go end it. Hey, big bro, listen. I love you. That's how we
love
go.
Love you, bro.
End it. I'm going to be waiting on my – I'm going to screenshot me that picture of the
Tracking number. Yeah.
And look, here's the thing, because we talked about Frank Vogel. We talked about Dak. So to all those fans out there, okay, the grass may look greener when it's fake, okay?
When it's fake.
So don't just jump that's out turf. There like – Yeah, that's turf. So don't just
you tear think, ACLs out there.
Don't just think that, oh, I'm firing Frank Vogel, getting rid of Dak is going to be the solution. And look, this is another episode of Swaggle and Perk. You know what I'm saying? Next time when we come on, hopefully we both be wearing these nice-ass frames. But
they will be at your house ASAP.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
And that's how we said it. Y'all get out y'all feelings. Hey, cousins, we love y'all.
Love y'all, cousins. Peace.